Welcome to the West City Podcast. We hope you are encouraged by today's message. If you want to hear more podcasts, you can access them through the West City website found in the description link.
We're into the second week of a series. If you're visiting here today, welcome. It's great to have you here. We're doing a series in the month of January and February called Surprise the World. You can see the posters around and I have the slide up here in the name of Jesus. And if you weren't here last week, we just set up the series, but have a listen to the podcast. And the idea is, rather than have a vision Sunday, we're gonna just lean into what is the vision of Christ, you know, the go of Christ. And every week at the end of the service, you'll hear I'd say our benediction, which is the go of Christ. But a lot of people have been saying to us, how do we actually go and feed the hungry and clothe the naked? How do we go and end oppression? And how do we go and proclaim anew the old story? And this series looks into that because what we wanted to do is do something practical. I mean, we are capable of talking at high levels about stuff and about theology, but really all theology should lead to doxology. What I mean by that is, our understanding of God should lead to a worship of God. It should lead to action. It should lead to a surrendered life. And so we want to look at, and we've taken this from Michael Frost's book, and he's coming later in the year in September. We just confirmed that. He's going to be doing a conference with us. This guy is a gun. It's going to be amazing. But we looked at this acronym BELLS, and we'll be looking each week at each of the letter of BELLS. And BELLS stands for what would happen if we lived habits that propelled us into the lives of those who don't know God loves them and haven't known that they're invited to the party, which is the kingdom of God right here and now on earth. And so we're going to look at what would it mean to bless people? What would it mean to share a meal with people? What would it mean to listen to the Spirit? What would it mean if we learned Christ in a very practical way, in ways that almost became second nature? And what would it mean to understand and that we are sent, to live in a way that just declares we're sent? And so today I'm going to be talking about BLESS, the first one in the series, and I'm looking forward to it. And I'm going to give you at the beginning the first kind of like application for not just this week, but this 5 weeks. And here it is. What I'm suggesting to you is that we all take this on. And it says, I will bless 3 people this week. I'll read it for those who are our Podrishners. Welcome, Podrishners from all over the world, wherever you're listening in from. I will bless 3 people this week, at least one of whom is not a member of this community. Maybe 2 are not members. So I'm going to bless someone within this community, and I'm going to look to bless in a week 1 or 2 people who are not a part of this community. The word bless has different, it's different in different languages. You know, in Latin, the word bless is benecia, where we get the word benediction from. It means to speak well of. In Greek, it's eulogen, where we get the word eulogy from. Eulogies are what, for those who may be not sure or aware, they're what we say over someone when they're dead. We don't tell them when they're alive, but when they pass away, we go to the funeral, and everyone says really great stuff about their lives. I mean, maybe I'm going to suggest today we say it to people while they're alive before they cark it. But we give a eulogy, and the word means to speak well of. In his book, Michael Frost says the etymology or the beginning of the word, the sort of like the foundations of the word bless, can also mean to make somebody's arm strong or to strengthen somebody's arm, someone's arm. I love that. The word means to actually do something so that after you do it, they leave more ennobled, more strengthened, more able, more capable. What a beautiful picture of what it is to bless someone. And this morning, I want to just suggest to you, I want to let you know, did you know that blessing is at the core or the center of God's call for us as his people? Let me say that again. Blessing is at the center of God's call for us as a people. Why do I say that? Because in Genesis 12, you have a guy called Abraham. And Abraham is not a Christian. He's a pagan. He has no real understanding of God. And it says in Genesis 12, God comes to Abraham and says, I want you to leave your family and your country that you live in and your household. And I want you to go on a journey with me. And in this original call to Abraham, and Abraham then became the Israelites out of his offspring. And God said this to Abraham at the very beginning. He said, this is my plan in you just being obedient to me and going. He says, my plan is I will make you a great nation and I will bless you and I will make your name great and you will be a blessing and I will bless those who bless you and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Hashtag blessed. Just in case you didn't get it. Blessed 23 times. Now you say, well, that's it was said to Abraham. But listen to the thing. Not only are you going to be blessed, Abraham, but through you, I'm going to bless you, but you're going to bless the nations. And we know the Israelites had some success and some failures at blessing, as we do too. But through Abraham's lineage, Jesus came. And we see Jesus picking up on this core theme of blessing, that we're called to it. It's not just for the Israelites, not just for Abraham, but it's for all those people who name God as their own. God wants to bless us and he wants us to be a blessing. We see Jesus picking this up. And in Acts 10, Paul is talking about Jesus and Jesus' ministry. And this is how he speaks to the listeners who he's speaking to about Jesus, about kind of the core of who he was, the emphasis of what he was about. And it says, and God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. I want you to just make a note of that word anoint. God enabled, God empowered Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was, I know we don't usually do crowd participation, but let's try this, because God was, right, wow, you're good. God deputized and anointed Jesus, and he went around doing good and healing all those who were oppressed of the devil because God was with him. Jesus' ministry and life, if you could encapsulate it, you would say it was a life of blessing, a life of blessing. Doing good, setting people free. And for all of us who have come to surrender our lives to Jesus, we know what it is to be filled with hope, to be connected to the source who says, I'm freeing you from sin and death. And death can't hold us back. I would say, we could say we're blessed. But that was Jesus. What about us? I think we see clearly in the gospel, Jesus deputized all his disciples, including you if you're a disciple, to be a blessing and to bless others. I told you to make note of that idea of anointing. But in Matthew 12, you see this first picture of Jesus sending out the disciples, sending them to do the go of Christ. And it says he called the 12 disciples to him and gave them authority. He deputized them to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. At that part, in that time, Jesus' ministry was to Israel, and then we see in Acts, it burgeons out to Gentiles. Raise your hand if you're a Gentile. Amen. I see that hand. Raise your hand if you're Jewish. Ooh, see that hand? Raise your hand if you don't know what you are. See that hand as well. He says, go out. And as you go, he says, proclaim this message. Now, it's not just in word, but indeed, because we see it's not just about saying, but it's about doing. He says, proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. There's a party going on. God's throwing a party and you're invited. You who think you're not invited, you are. He loves you and he wants you to be a part. Heal the sick, it says. Raise the dead, just small things. Cleanse those who have leprosy. Drive out demons. He says, freely you have received, freely give. And as you enter home, give it your greeting. If the home is deserving, let your peace rest on it. And if it isn't, let your peace return to you. We see this ministry of blessing. And I want to just very quickly look at that idea of authority. You're deputized to be a blessing. You know, there's been a few times I've been pulled over by the police. I won't confess anything this morning. I will confess something today, but this is not confession time. It's about how many times I've lost my license. But sometimes I'll be pulled over by the police and it'll be a booze bus. And it's so weird, isn't it? Because you've got the policeman or woman will stand in the road and just stop you. Now, if I'm driving along and a random person stands out in the road and just goes like this to me, chances are I'm going to go round them, okay, or drive over them. But I'm not just going to stop them. What's the difference when a police officer stands in the road? They're wearing a uniform, right? And they have a gun. But even in England, I would have stopped, and they don't have guns. But they have a uniform on. What that tells me is this person is deputized to represent our government and its laws. And they're well within their rights to stop me to see if I'm more than over the limit. And I would suggest to you that's what Jesus is saying here. He's saying, I'm deputizing you to bless. I'm giving you authority to bless. So rather than asking the Father to bless, I want you to go and bless in my name. And I'm truly going to empower you, just like the police officer has the whole of the Western Australian government or the federal government behind them. So Jesus is saying, all of heaven's resources is behind you to go and be a blessing, a sent one to this world. I don't know about you, but I kind of like that. I wish I could wear a uniform. It'd be cool. But I think I have the potential to live a life of blessing. I don't know about you, but I also think I have the potential to do some other things. I think I have the potential to either live a life of blessing, to live a benign life, or a neutral life, one that just says, I'm not going to do either or, I'll just be neutral. By the way, the only thing in a car, in a manual car, is the only thing I think is useless is neutral. At least first to sixth or fifth gear takes you somewhere, and even reverse takes you somewhere. But neutral, you know, you're kind of like left to free wheel. You're at the whim of the incline of the road, right? So if you're on this side of the hill and you're in neutral, which way are you going to go? Yeah, backwards, if you're going facing that way. But if you're on the other side of the hill and you're in neutral, which way are you going to go? Down. You can use the momentum of gravity to, you know, and thus ends a physics lesson. But I think it's the same way. I have the potential to, if I say I'm going to live a neutral life, you know, I'm at the whims of the prevailing winds of thought. If people are filled with hate, maybe I'm open more to the gravity of hate dragging me along. And if people are loving and caring, maybe I'm open to that gravity of love and care dragging me along. But I think it's important when you say I'm going to choose to bless you, putting yourself in gear. But I also have the potential to curse. And sometimes I find myself doing both, which horrifies me. See, James mentions that. He says, you know, it's possible, and he says it shouldn't be the way, but it's possible that you can actually bless God on Sunday with your tongue and then curse your neighbor who's made in God's image on Monday or even Sunday afternoon. And he said, this shouldn't be. In other words, you need to choose not to be a neutral, not to be a person who's going to live a life that's a life of cursing, but you're going to lean into life. I believe if you choose to make blessing a part of your daily habit, if I choose, I'm leaning into bringing life, to bringing God's kingdom, to bringing heaven on earth. But if I lean into cursing, I'm bringing hell. And it's coming with me, baby. I want to tell you, and just in case you wondered about those who don't love us, it clearly says, Romans says to the people in Rome, he says, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. So even in the midst of that negative momentum, I want you to swim up the stream. I want you to be in first, and I want you to be a person of blessing. Let me tell you a story about, in the last month, about someone I've cursed and someone I've blessed. Let me start with cursing. I want you to know Phil Stevenson needs these habits. I'm not asking you to do them because I'm totally there, baby. I'm saying let's do this together because I need them. Because I don't want to lean into death. I don't want to bring hell with me, but I have the potential to do it. And so it's to do with driving. I was driving down Beaufort Street, and for those of you who don't know it, Beaufort Street has two lanes. Often in the mornings from 9 onwards for an hour or two, they have to be cleared, but then people are allowed to park on the left-hand side. And so driving down Beaufort Street is like the old game of Frogger, you know, where you're trying to move back and forth. Some of you will know what I'm talking about. Some of the young people here are like, what the heck is he talking about? Google Frogger. You kind of like, I just find like I'm weaving in and out, you know, just, and it's horrible when you drive on the left and there's a car park and no one will let you in. And you know, the gap's closing before you hit the back of the car and you're like, please, Jesus, let me in, somebody. Well, that happened to me. I was in the car with Caroline and there was a gap, and I need to be honest, it wasn't a big gap. So I did the right thing. I indicated, which as we all know means I'm going to go whether you want me to or not. It's not a suggestion, it's a command. I'm moving right. So I indicated right and I managed to squeeze in front of this car. He wasn't happy. He wasn't having a good day, and so he jumped on the horn and just rode his horn. Now, I did the wrong thing. I pulled in front of him, I was close. It was dangerous. But rather than try and wave and say, look, I'm sorry, mate. I'm talking wave, not do anything else, okay? Rather than do that, I was already a bit upset because I'm playing Frogger on Beaufort Street. I'm in a rush. I don't know why I'm always in a rush to get somewhere, because like, and I just pushed down on that horn the same amount of time. I was like, he didn't like that. And as we came to slow, he comes on the inside when there's a gap and he pulls in front of me and parks next to a parked car and stops all the cars behind. And he jumps out of his car. Well, when he jumps out of his car, I jump out of my car. And Caroline goes to grab me and I literally shove her off. And I jump out of the car and I walk up to him. His expression did change when I jumped out the car. But he wasn't backing down. And I want you to know, we both stood there and I was swearing at him and he was swearing at me. And I was ready to punch this guy's lights in. There was a guy behind us. By the way, Caroline's in tears in the car, scared stiff. There's a guy behind us, jumps out of his car, and I just see him out of my peripheral, comes around, and he says to this guy, you were in the wrong. You should not have pulled in front of him and just stopped all these cars. Get back to your car. He said to me, I was stood there, you know, swearing my heart. He says, you go back to your car. This is ridiculous. You go and sit down. And he starts to the guy's still swearing at me. I turn around to come back at him. And this guy's like, get in your car. I'll deal with it. And I open the car door because I think he's going to bash my car or something. I'm ready to go. And I'm sat in the car. And he's talking to this guy saying, and I hear him say, bro, what's going on? Dude, why are you doing this? There's no need for this. And after him just giving the cursory, this guy cut me off and pulled in and he's peed me up. He literally starts to break down and he says, do you know what has just happened to me? And he's looking at me as I'm sat with my door open, ready to jump up and punch his lights out. He said, I've just come from the doctors. I've been told I've got 6 months to live. Curse. And in that equation, and by the way, I was like, I'm so sorry, mate. I am so sorry. I felt sick to my stomach. And this other guy was like, hey, bro, do you want to pull up on the side? We can talk. And I thought to myself, here I am, pastor of a church. And in this equation, who was the one bringing peace? It was this random guy. Who was the one who was cursing the living daylights of a guy who's been given 6 months to live? It was yours truly, Phil Stevenson. Because I have the potential to live a life that curses others. You never know what's going on in people's lives. So I need this series, probably more than you. But a few weeks ago, we also went to Bali, Caroline and I. And we sat down, and as we sat down, we sat near this couple, these two girls, two older girls, Val and Diddy. And Caroline started talking with Diddy, and they were so friendly, and we were just chatting, and I started talking with Val, and just asked Val a few questions about why she was in Bali and what she was doing, and she started to open up about how her partner of 10 years had just died, and that Diddy had told her, come, we'll go to Bali. She began to open up about how, because she'd been a partner and not a wife, the daughter had not even allowed her to come to the funeral. And that the life she lived with her partner in the home, all the stuff was still there. They changed the locks. And she began to... And I was talking to Val, and Diddy said to Caroline, Val has never talked to anyone about this. She's like, why is she talking with him about it? And then she said, what do you do? And Caroline said, oh, he's a pastor. She's like, no. And then the conversation stopped. And she was like, you can't be a pastor. And I was like, yeah, we're both in ministry and I'm a pastor. She's like, you're too good looking to be a pastor. She said, I'll go to your church any day.
What was that?
Then they began to apologize for all the F-bombs they dropped leading up to that. We had such a great time, and I was just chatting with Val and just listening to her, and my heart went out to her. And then we finished the meal, we went to pay, and both Karen and I looked at each other, and we were just like, let's pay for the meal. And so we paid for the meal, we were paying for it. She was taking ages, the lady. She had like a calculator, and she couldn't at first understand that we didn't want to just pay for our meal, we wanted to pay for theirs as well. And in the meantime, they'd asked for the check, and one of the waitresses had said, oh, they're paying for it. And we just finished. We were trying to get out of there, and they came running up to us. And Val and Diddy were like hugging us like we've known each other forever. And they were saying, you shouldn't have done that. You're naughty. You're effing naughty. You know, like. And I said, no, we just wanted to do it and get out. And you caught us. I was able to give Val a hug. And she was like, why? Why did you do that? And I said, because I want you to know you're loved by God. And you need a break. You need to know that life's not all tragedy. That's all I got to say. And we left. So I curse someone and I bless someone. I know what I want to do. I want to live a life of blessing. But I have the potential to not just be in neutral, but shove it in reverse. And I don't want to do that. Best way for not shoving in reverse is to keep it in first. How do you want to live? I read a book that Jen Ballantyne gave me called The Grace Outpouring. I want to encourage you to read it. A guy by the name of Roy Godwin. And in this book, I read it about 6 months, maybe even a little bit longer now, 8 or 9 months ago. Jen said, read this book. It's amazing. And this book is it's a story really, a bunch of stories about how this guy went to this remote town in Wales. And they had like a new monastic movement there where they would pray together and worship and have services and stuff. But they cottoned on to this idea of what would happen if they realized they were deputized to bless their community. And so they began to bless their community, pray over it, pray. And I'll go through, he came up with this acronym here called BLESS of things that help them just say, how can I live a life of blessing? You should read the book, the stories of how God surprised that town is amazing. People would rock up out of nowhere and God's presence would encounter them. And their whole idea was be hospitable, bless people, and don't try and convert. Let's just love God and see what he does. And they had so many conversations, so many amazing things happen. And in his book, Roy Godwin says this is how he can sort of somehow, you know, when he's thinking about what does it mean to bless my community, to bless individuals, to bless families, he came up with this acronym called BLESS. B stands for body. How can I pray? How can I move towards people for health and protection and strength? Do people need healing? You might say, I'm not a healer. Jesus is a healer. You may just find you're deputized to heal as well. He said, labor. What can we pray to for work? And it's amazing. He said, people can get jobs and read the book anyway, work and income and security. By the way, I was so touched by this book, I thought, I'm going to go around blessing people. As you can see, I fell off the wagon a few times. Hey, I'm a sinner. I just want you to know that. And we come here not to cover up, we come here to confess, right? Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. What about emotional? People need joy, they need peace, they need hope. There's so much fear, there's so much stress. I just love hearing that story this morning around communion of giving your young nephew, your young grandson, that the tools, but blessing him, leading him into looking to our Heavenly Father. Beautiful, socially, love, marriage, family, friends. How can we lean into that and spiritually, salvation, faith, grace? And so I want to be practical because we haven't been that practical up to this moment in time, but I want to just look at ways we can bless. So if the challenge is, I will bless three people this week, one of whom is not a part of the West City community, at least one. There are three ways I think we can bless. Firstly, is words of affirmation. You know, I think we all know this, words can bless. But to actually really be a blessing when it comes to words, it takes thoughtfulness, intention. It actually takes looking and studying the person to be able to craft the words that is truly going to add strength to their arm. Do you know someone who's great at blessing with words? Esther Longhurst. She thinks about what she wants to say. She knows her subject, the person. It takes empathy. It takes being in their shoes. It takes actually going, and then she crafts words, specific words. You see, I've never had Esther come up to me and say, "You're awesome." What does that mean? She's come and she said specific words about stuff that have literally, I have an attaboy file. I had an intern who was American. She said, "Hey, start an attaboy file, an attaboy file for us English people, an encouragement file, and put in it every time someone encourages you, write it down or an email." I'm so glad for those two emails, one from Caroline and one from Abby. But you can go a long way. True, right? You can go a long way on encouragement. Anyone say amen to that? So it takes thoughtfulness. It takes empathy. It takes looking and studying the person. In fact, Jesus said this. He said he was talking to a woman at the well, and we know she was blessed because it says that this woman he chatted with, and she went away and told her whole village about him. And they basically opened up their lives to the good news of who Jesus was because of a conversation she had with Jesus. And when the disciples came back, because they were off getting bread, they said, "Hey, Jesus, we've got some food for you." And he said, as he always does, mysterious Jesus, he said, my food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me and finish his work. And because they were very practical, they were like, someone fed him? What the heck? And then he says, "Don't you have a saying? It's still four months until harvest. I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest." If you want to live and bless people with words of affirmation, Jesus, I think he's saying here, you need to be a student of people. You need to look with intention. In fact, that word there, look, for the fields are ripe into harvest. In other words, people are open. People need their arms strengthening, just like he strengthened that woman at the well. He said, the word look means to study with the intent of reaching out to, of blessing. That's what it means. How beautiful. Jesus is saying, if you look at the harvest, which is people, you'll find so many opportunities to strengthen others with your words. I don't have any much time left, so I won't tell you that story. Yeah. Second one is acts of kindness. It's where you ask yourself, who needs strengthening or helping? What action will help them? Blessing people with action is about not turning aside, but drawing close to people. It's got a proximity factor. Remember the story of the Good Samaritan? It all began, the priest and the Levite passed by on the side of the road, probably because they thought they'd be made unclean. But the true neighbor saw the man, and then he turned towards him, and that began a journey of sacrificial acts of kindness. Warning, moving towards people can be messy, and it can keep on going and going, just so you know. And there is such thing as compassion fatigue, but hey, that's why we do it together as a community and not just on our own. See, if there's only a few people doing it and everyone else sitting back going, isn't our church great? That person did this and that person did that. We can burn out. But if we do it together, we can call for help. But he turned aside and he had compassion. When we hear about the believers, it talked about a lady by the name of Dorcas or Tabitha, and she got sick, but what it said about her, she was always doing good and helping the poor. She was blessing people with acts of kindness. I told you last week about my next door neighbor and how he said, hey neighbor, how you doing? I'm like, good. He said, what do you do on the weekend? I said, I went to church. He said, that's interesting. And I realized later, that's interesting doesn't mean that's I'm interested, right? But I tried to witness to him, and he got a new security system. And then I couldn't see him for ages. And he actually left his wife. I don't know if it was me and my witnessing skills, because I tried to do a high 3-minute presentation of the gospel to him, and he quickly made a fast retreat. But a few weeks and months later, I was thinking, I'd love to invite them to a barbecue, and I'd see them again and try and wave, and I'd see the sun, and I'd be like, hey, love to, yeah. And then they had just sand out the front, and we were staying at our parents, and my mum and dad had beautiful manicured lawns. And so one day, I just was thinking, and I thought, I'm pretty good at doing retic, because I'm just cheap, and I've had no money, so I've had to do it myself. So I just like watch people and then try and do it. And so I thought, I'm going to go over and see if I can do her retic in the front garden and lay lawn down for them. So I went over and knocked on the door, and she answered. She was a nurse, so she worked shift work, and fortunately I caught her in. Anyway, I said to her, hey, me and my mates, I hadn't asked my mates yet, but I said, me and my mates just wondering if we could do your retic in your lawn. And she said to me, this is the first reaction she had. She said, I am so sorry about our front garden. My blessing almost turned to a curse. And we'll talk about it in a moment. But and she said, and she actually was just stumbling. She said, my husband's just left me and I've just got no money. And she just started to unpack. And I said, no. I honestly don't care about how your lawn looks. I just want to just see if I can come and put some retic in. And anyway, to cut a long story short, I then went and approached my mates and said, you need to help me because I'm in way over my head. And they said, and we rocked up at the house. There's someone's about 20. And they were from Czechoslovakia, I think. And we just, in one day, just smashed out and did it. And, you know, straight after that, they were like, come and eat at our house. You need to come and eat with us. And they gave me this like 100% proof whiskey, or like it was like gin or something. It was, yeah. Dude, I tell you what, fellowship flows when you drink that. I mean, after a while, we were just best of mates. But it was just another example to me of like, just an act of kindness. And, you know, it doesn't have to be big. It just needs to be, it takes us to move close to someone. And the final one is gift. We bless by giving people gifts. And I'm just going to go a few minutes over, if that's okay. Proverbs actually says this: a person's gift makes room for them and brings them before great men. We've often used that for like our giftings. But what if it's literally about gifts? What would it take to be like a master gift giver? And I think what it takes to give gifts well is to actually, again, know the person and think about what will bless them, not you, will bless them. My kids often buy me things they want. Does anyone else have that, had that experience? What makes a bad gift at Christmas? What makes a bad gift? Often a bad gift, you know, you'll get, for me, it'll be like jocks again or socks from my kids. I'm like, by the way, if you buy your parents jocks or socks and you're here today, that's great. But sometimes it's just like, and I've done this, you know, just buy someone a gift, it's last minute. I haven't really thought about it. I just think, oh, I should get something. But something special about someone who gives you a gift they've thought about. You see, it doesn't have to cost a lot, but it's about the thought behind it. It's saying, how can I bless you with this gift? Some of the greatest gifts I have are little scrawls from my kids that are on a piece of envelope saying, Dad, I love you, and have a great day at work, or you're the best, and I've got them in my Bible. I haven't put them in my attaboy file. I have them in my very special place. So gift giving, and I think the main secret is matching your gift with what will bless, not just what you think they need. We're going to just wrap up here, but I want to just give you some warnings on blessings as we go out this week. Number one, do it freely with no strings attached. Remember, this whole series is not about church growth, it's about church go. It's not about converting, it's about being converted into understanding where God is at work and joining Him there. This is not about that. And yeah, we might have conversations when people say and ask us about our questionable life in a good way. But it's not about that. So love people, no strings attached. Why? Because that's how God loves us. No strings attached. Friends, cut those strings. If we have them, get rid of them. There's nothing worse than being someone's friends because you've got the Amway spiel ready to go. Just love people. Secondly, another warning is this. Successful blessing means the recipient feels blessed. Like my story about my next door neighbor. Make sure they feel blessed. It's not about you feeling blessed. You may feel blessed as a result, but don't make it about that. I'll just give you, Proverbs says, a man who blesses his neighbor loudly in the morning, even that will feel like a curse. Morning, neighbor! Philippians 2, 3 to 4 says, do nothing out of selfish motive. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself. Not looking on your own interests, but the interests of others. And the third thing is, people may misunderstand. Even with all those things where you say, I want to do this, no strings attached. I want it to be a blessing to you. People may still misunderstand, as we read last week. I won't read it. 1 Peter 3, 15 to 16. It says, some people might persecute you for doing good. Don't be frightened. Just be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks. Why and how? With gentleness and respect. And so this morning, usually, you know, we come to church and we're asked to bless others. And, you know, you may bless people with finances and your gifts may be finances. But for a mum or a parent who has no food, a beautiful gift may be a food basket or a card that helps them buy food. Again, we're just trying to match, right? But I want to send you on kingdom assignment this today. And like I said, sometimes you come to church and you're asked to give. And this morning, I want to send you on kingdom assignment. And we actually, as a board and as a leadership, we've actually set aside $7,000 that we're going to give out in $100 notes today to be seed to sow in you going and blessing others. So it's like a... it's like a kickstart. We want to invest in you as you go and do that. There's three rules to this kingdom assignment. Number one, realize it's God's money. Amen? This is stewardship, really. So it's just you walk around with this saying, this is God's money. Number two, this is really important. And Chiz will be talking next week about listening to the Spirit. But listen to God's Spirit and look to see who He wants you to bless. So listen. Be open. Don't just jump into something, but be open. Listen and look. Pray. Just begin a dialogue with God around this. I think you'll find it'll be amazing who God leads you to and who He doesn't lead you to. The third is report back what happened. And each week we're going to have surprise the world stories. And we've got one next week that has already happened outside of this series that is so beautiful, I want to share it. It's going to be amazing. So report back. Don't send a photo and saying, thank God for this ring. Appreciate it. Blessed. Hashtag blessed. Or meal, you know, beautiful meal at, you know, sea restaurant or wherever. Report back what happened, either both in your life and maybe in the life of others. But again, this is not about some showy thing. It's just about encouraging one another, telling stories, encouraging. See how we go, traveling together. And so, I'm going to hand over to John right now. And what we're going to do is we're going to come to Jesus first, who opens his table and says, I want to bless you. This represents everything to do with God saying there's more than enough. Don't live in lack. Don't live out of, come to table. But after that, I'm going to get back up and I'm going to say the benediction. And just like at communion, there's going to be three stations, three baskets. Each of these envelopes has a $100 note in, the go of Christ that we say is our benediction. And John Sears said, let's put a mint in because the good news always comes with fresh breath. I don't know. And we're going to do that. And all we ask of you is to sign your name in blood. No, just sign your name and maybe a contact detail so we know who we're giving it out to. But other than that, there is no accountability around this. It's just yours to go and begin that journey. John, thanks.
Each week at West City, we are sent out to be the church in the world. We do this by declaring the following benediction. May you know God's enabling as you join us in living it out. We come together as the church to be reminded of the go of Christ. So go and feed the hungry. Go and clothe the naked. Go and fight for justice. Go and end oppression. Go and proclaim anew the old, old story. Go and reach those who are running from God and God's church. Go and associate with those who don't look like us, think like us, act like us, or even like us. And do it all in the name of the one who sent us. His name is Jesus.